When she learned of the murders of her three supposedly loyal priests, Aaliyah was outraged. Without being summoned, Jessica came into the regent's private office, ordered the Amazon guards to wait outside, and sealed the door. Seated at her writing table, Aaliyah wanted to lash out at some target, any target. She had laid out a pattern of the new Dune tarot cards, though the reading had not gone as well as she'd hoped. When her mother entered, Aaliyah scattered the cards on the table, a panoply of ancient icons modified to have relevance to Dune. A Coriolis storm of sand, an emperor resembling Paul, a goblet overflowing with spice, a sandworm instead of a dragon, and an eerie blind man rather than death. Jessica withstood the brunt of her daughter's buffeting rage, then spoke calmly. "Those priests are dead for good reason. Gurney Halleck killed them." That stopped Aaliyah in mid-sentence. The willowy girl raised herself to her feet from behind the desk, the clutter of tarot cards before her. Her face turned pale, her eyes widening.
"What did you just say to me, mother?"
"Gurney only followed my orders. I saved your life." While her daughter listened, astonished and scowling, Jessica revealed the full details of the plot that would have assassinated both Aaliyah and Duncan at their wedding ceremony. She extended the recordings, letting her daughter listen to the schemes of Izbar and the other two priests. There could be no denying their guilt. "It seems your priests would rather speak as surrogates for dead prophets than for live rulers." Aaliyah sat down heavily, but after only a moment's pause, her mood shifted once more.
"So you've set spies on me, mother? You don't trust my security, so you have your own inside sources."
She jabbed a finger at the surreptitious recordings, and her voice grew louder, more shrill.
"How dare you secretly keep watch on me and my priests? Who among my—"
As Aaliyah began to lose control of her temper, Jessica took a step closer and slapped her like a mother disciplining an unruly child. Calmly. Once. Hard.
"Stop this nonsense and think. I did it to protect you, not to weaken you, not to spy on you. Sometimes it is beneficial to have an independent set of sources, as this proves."
Aaliyah rocked backward, shocked that her mother had struck her. Her lips tightened until they turned pale. The red mark stood out on her cheek. With great effort, she composed herself.
"There are always plots, mother. My own people would have uncovered this one in time, and I would much rather have publicly executed the traitors rather than killing them in secret. The wedding ceremony would have been an obvious opportunity for someone to move against me, and I've already taken security measures. Measures that even your sources don't know about." "I am not your enemy, nor am I your rival," Jessica insisted. "Can you fault a mother for wanting to prevent harm to her daughter?"
Aaliyah sighed and tossed her hair back behind her shoulders.
"No, mother. I cannot. By the same token, don't fault me for saying that I will feel less unsettled when you return to Caladan."
"Even when I feel love, it is so complex that others may not recognize it as such. While I admit this freely, I do so only on these pages that are for me alone."
Lady Aaliyah, private journals, intentionally written in a style to imitate Princess Irulan. When yet another of Bronzo's manifestos appeared only days before the wedding, Aaliyah reacted swiftly and angrily, ordering the destruction of all copies. She demanded that anyone who was found distributing or even carrying the document be executed without further ado. Deeply concerned and hoping to mitigate any damage, Jessica rushed to meet with her daughter in private.
"Such bloodshed will backfire on you. In 2 days, you and Duncan will be married.
Do you want the people to hate and fear you?
After expressing her disgust at the situation, Aaliyah relented.
All right, mother, if only to appease you.
Amputating the perpetrator's hands should be harsh enough to get the message across, I suppose. Her mother departed, not entirely satisfied. Aaliyah spent the rest of the day in the throne room, then left through a guarded doorway and pushed aside a Fremen wall hanging, just as she had seen her brother do many times. It was difficult to believe he was gone. She churned with a feeling of helplessness that only made her angry. Why had he left her with such a messy state of affairs? Did Paul expect her to act as the mother of his twin babies? Or perhaps Hera could do it? Or Princess Irulan? Or Jessica? How could the most important man in the known universe simply turn his back and leave? She wished her brother could be here now. A terrible sensation of sadness and longing threatened to make her cry, but Aaliyah had not shed tears for him and doubted she ever would, especially on Dune. Yet she had loved Paul in life and might love him even more now in death. His presence was like a supergiant star whose gravitational pull affected everything that came within his sphere of influence. Paul shone so brightly that he blinded all other individual stars and constellations. The Emperor Muad'Dib, the Fremen Messiah Lizan al-Ghaib. He had overthrown an emperor, conquered a galaxy, and used a jihad to sweep aside the clutter of 10,000 years of history. But without his charismatic personality dominating the daily workings of government and the Atreides family, Aaliyah was beginning to see her brother from a different perspective, actually getting a chance to know and respect him in new ways. After Chaney's water was mysteriously stolen, and no blackmail threats had ever emerged, thankfully, she had sealed off Paul's private quarters in the Citadel and allowed no one into these rooms. Aaliyah liked to come here alone, just to think, imagining that he might still be there. Paul Muad'Dib had left a remarkable legacy, and she was its custodian as regent and as his sister. That was not a duty she took lightly. Given time and the proper circumstances, Aaliyah might stand one day as the equal to Muad'Dib in the histories. She already had chroniclers compiling records of her achievements, just in case. Standing on stone floor tiles just inside the room's entrance, she smelled the lingering odors of the former inhabitants, a bit of staleness in the air. Not so long ago, Paul and Chaney had filled these rooms with their personalities, their dreams, their hopes, and secret words for each other. They had made love here and conceived the twins, Leto and Ganema. Oil murals painted on the walls depicted common Fremen scenes, a woman counting water rings for her hair, children out in the sand catching sand trout, a robed Naib standing high on a promontory. Everything was exactly as the occupants had left it. Chaney's shoes and clothing were laid about casually as if she had expected to come back, just like any other day. But Paul's clothes were neatly put away. Seeing this, Aaliyah felt a chill, wondering if her brother had known he would not return.